Your Adventures of Sam Spade, Detective.
Sam Spade, Detective Agency.
Spade, sweetheart.
Oh, hello, Sam. What are you doing?
Having breakfast, Abby.
Breakfast? But it's 7:30 in the p.m.
Well, it's a topsy-turvy world, sweetheart.
What was the problem, Sam?
A gold key to the door of her apartment. She gets to figure out what it unlocked. Very complex case, Abby. Greed, passion, twisted ambition, hate, love, vengeance, and murder. The whole gamut. It was ghastly every now and then.
Well, Sam, maybe we ought to put off the report for Marlene when you're feeling breathless.
Oh, it's very considerate of you, sweetheart, but I'd like to get it off my chest now tonight. If you want to help, just be at your desk. Now, don't say anything when I come in. Just be there.
Sam, you sound so serious.
Could be, sweetheart. We'll see. I'll be right down to dictate my report on the gold key caper.
Now, with Howard Duff starring as Spade, Wilder brings to the air the greatest private detective of them all in The Adventures of Sam Spade.
Date, January 25, 1948. New homicide detail, San Francisco Police. Attention, Detective Lieutenant Dundee from Samuel Spade. License under 17596. Subject, the gold key caper. Dear Dundee, it started as these things usually do in my office when Effie Farine, a doll of my other daughter, eased in, closed the door behind her, and leaned against it.
Is the girl outside?
A client or a client?
Her name is Wanda Farr.
Has she come a long way to see you?
I don't think she's kidding.
I know, sweetheart, you never do. Sure is.
Will you please come in, Miss Farr?
right here, Miss Farr.
You're so kind, Mr. Spade. I can see I've come to the right place.
Yes, okay. That'll be all, Miss Farr. And now then, what can I do for you, Miss Farr?
Well, I haven't a great deal of money. I've brought a little cash with me. Would 300 be enough for you?
I won't haggle with you, Miss Farr. Come back. Now, what's the story that goes with it?
How much do you know about a man named Dundee?
About as much as the police know. You know more?
I'm afraid I don't even know that much. I didn't even know what he was until one evening 3 years ago. That was the last time I saw him. The police came and I was deeply shocked. But I thought I could stand by him.
As I remember, the rap was 3 to 5 years breaking and entering.
Yes, I promised to wait for him.
But you couldn't quite make it.
Well, in a way, you're probably right. When I heard he was coming out of prison, well, I just can't think.
Have you thought of leaving town?
Oh, it wouldn't make any difference. He'd find me wherever I went.
Can't say that I blame him. What's so funny?
You're afraid of me, aren't you?
No, not dangerous. Not yet.
Are you always dangerous? Oh, never.
That depends.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, how many other traps you've handled, like this county police, and how many other traps have helped you get out from under?
Really? There must be some other type of detective.
Okay, here's your money.
Well, I won't go. You can't turn me away like this. Of all those things I told you. You haven't any right to... But I put my trust in you.
That's a lousy act, too.
Huh?
Sit down. Well, I... Now, look at it. What do you want me to do?
Well, he's arriving in San Francisco without me. He'll come to my apartment, and he said he would. I haven't been seeing him or even out of his letter. That by itself is enough to make him kill him, man. Oh, you knew, Johnny.
Well, I don't. You said you didn't until the cops came in.
But I didn't. I didn't know he was in the bar. I just thought he was a gambler like anybody. And then about his violence. Whenever he is angry, he just goes crazy. I wanted to see him long before they set him up, I was. I was going to write and then tell him in prison. But then I was afraid he'd break out and make things worse for himself. But now...
Now you've really got a thing.
Yes, but I can't. I'm afraid.
Uh-huh, and you want me to hold a gun on him while you give him the air.
Oh, you say it like that. But I just can't go back to him. I can't. I just knew that you would fall and talk to him. And I'd be
safe. For how long? Look. Look, let's say something for after dinner, shall we?
I was wrong. You're not afraid of me. You're not afraid of anything.
What's the address?
1234 Van Ness, apartment 21.
What time do you do it?
It's supposed to get dinner on the street.
I'll be there a quarter up. Budget four times. Long, short, long, short.
No. No, don't use it, Dad. I don't want to make any mistakes. Yes. Take this. Step yourself in.
Gold key to Johnny. Forever. Now, don't worry, Angel. Don't worry. You can put a new name on it. This was not engraved very deep. After she'd drawn, a heavy fragrance clung to everything she touched. The chair she sat in, my glass with her lipstick on it for $300. Even the gold key. I rubbed it up against my coat sleeve. The name didn't come off. It only shone brighter. I threw it across the room just to see if it would bounce. It did. And when I walked over to pick it up, there were two keys, or at least one and a half. The gold shank had been hollowed out, and the key that fitted inside it was wrong again, Dundee. Not a glass key, a brass key with a number on it, 322, nothing else. I wondered if Johnny Batiste had been living a double life, at least one and a half. I was still wondering when I slipped the brass key back into its hiding place and used the gold one to unlock the door of Wanda's apartment. The room was full of her perfume, but she wasn't there. Johnny Batiste was. He was cleaning the prison dirt out of his fingernails with a shiny new spring blade knife.
Get that key.
What for? You're in. What's Wanda?
She changed her mind. She don't want to see you.
Who changed it for?
I did. I told her she shouldn't ought to marry into the wrong set. So give me that key and blow.
Where is she, in here?
I told you to blow if you don't want to see it.
You don't miss me yourself. You're sure happy.
I didn't rot in that state hotel 3 years to get pushed around. Why do you think I took that rap?
You took it for her. You're crazy. She was through with you before you went up.
I just go on talking like that. Go on. I'll cut you. I'll cut you real bad, copper.
Johnny, I don't want to hurt you. I'm fine. Good night, Johnny. The first thing you ought to learn about civilian life, Johnny, is don't jump somebody until you know what it's all about. What did she tell you?
Forget it. You'll get this cheaper than I did. But she's 3 years older. So am I.
Listen, Johnny, here's my card. If there's any way I can help you, let me know, will you? I mean it.
You got a heart, sister. They gave me $50 and they pushed me out the gate, but I dropped it in the poker game down at Six and Mission. Right off the bus. Sucker. Johnny Bitch.
Anything from Joe, John?
No, nothing that ain't mine. Hey, that key is mine. My name's on it. They couldn't do nothing to me if I hopped that, could they? I was a 10 or 15. That's solid gold. It'll give me a place to flop until I get my feet under me again.
Yeah, like you say, your name's on it. Here, take it. Yeah, you can have your knife, too.
Good, all right, guy. I'm sorry for the things I said.
Hey, wait a minute. Where's Wanda?
I don't know. I haven't seen her. And I don't want to see her. So long, sucker.
I went to the window and watched him leave the building. He didn't cough when the cold air hit him. Instead, he took a deep breath and strode briskly across the street and into a neon-lighted bar and grill. Something about his swagger bothered me. Giving him the gold key might or might not have been as smart a move as I thought it was, but I was sorry I'd given him back his knife. Sam Spade, sucker. About here, Dundee, I decided to start acting like a detective for a change. I took a chance on Johnny Batiste being thirsty enough after 3 years to keep his elbow crooked at the bar long enough for me to frisk Wanda's apartment. I didn't think I'd find her body there, but I did. I deduced that it was in the clothes closet from the feeble cries and puffings I heard as I walked into the bedroom. Oh, that's fine. Well, here we are.
Oh, but that's not all I said. Oh, you'll never forgive me for this. I know. How can I tell you? I told him you forced me to do this.
Thanks a lot. How did I pull it?
By threatening to go overboard so they wouldn't let Johnny out.
I must have a lot of influence.
Yes, and that way, though, I was protecting him, so he didn't hurt me. Only this little bit. When he pushed me to the car. Well, it's nothing, really. Only a little bit gone. Oh, but if you only knew what he's doing. I'm standing there in that dark, not knowing what he was doing to you. Oh, Johnny.
Think any more about it.
Oh, listen. Oh, you
do forgive me, don't you? About that gold key, Angel, I think you better change the lock on your door.
What?
I gave it to Johnny.
You? Oh, no, you fool.
Oh, he was broke. He made it.
Oh, where did you get a crazy idea like that?
And where did you get those great, big, beautiful lies?
Stand be serious.
But I am. We're engaged, aren't we?
Oh, stop that. Listen. If I don't have that key back by midnight,
Run.
He's come back to kill me.
Get out of sight. Get out of sight. I'll take care of him. There were two of them. Neither one was Johnny Batiste. They brushed past me and entered the room without a word and stood there with their faces hanging out. While we were giving each other the silent treatment, I sized them up. The larger size, I recognized from newspaper pictures. He was a big sand and gravel man, and rumor had it that a stretch of paving outside the town contained the bodies of 18 other sand and gravel men who had bid against him for the contract and stumbled into a rock crusher. Name? Mike Malloy. The musician with him put his viola case down on the sofa and opened it up.
No. This is the man,
Nathan.
What's that
to what he's doing here?
Why don't you sit down and finish
that
comic book I bought for you? Okay,
rock crusher.
It's said, I told his father to hire you, Mr. I brought along my bodyguard here just in case. Where is your father?
I sent her to the movies.
Why, of course. You see Johnny Batiste?
Yeah, he dropped in.
And he didn't make any trouble?
No. Was he supposed to?
There's no point in our talking and searching, Mr. Johnny Batiste used to work for me. Naples here was one of his men, wasn't he?
Why,
bring
him in.
You see? Things have changed. Johnny isn't the man he used to be. But I've always taken care of those, certainly, loyally.
I thought we weren't talking and searching.
Believe me, Mr. Spade, I only want to save Johnny from himself.
Is he threatening to jump into one of your rock records?
What's that, boy? He's got a sense of humor.
I'm sorry, I may have been. I was misinformed about you, Mr. Spade. I was led to believe that you were the man to help my fiancée and myself out of this embarrassing situation.
Your fiancée? Wanda? Miss Fox?
Yes,
his fiancée.
I'll be absolutely frank with you, Spade. I had hoped by bringing you and Johnny Batiste together under circumstances that you might be more secure in self-defense, Gordon.
My apologies.
It would have been the merciful way out for Johnny, and it would have saved many lives. I know Johnny Batiste. He will try to get back on top. He'll stop at nothing.
I believed them, and it was no mistake. That's why I almost hoped they didn't know where Johnny was, but they did. After they left Wanda's apartment, they crossed the street and went into the neon-lighted bar and grill. The time I got downstairs, they were on their way out again with Johnny in the middle. He didn't look like he wanted to go, but they dragged him into Malloy's limousine and he went. I did too. The trail ended on the Embarcadero at the Harbor View Hotel. By the time I got into the lobby, Johnny and his two guards had disappeared up a ratty-looking flight of stairs. I started up after them, but then I stopped cold. When I got to the top of the stairs, I saw where the number one burst had gone. It had raked the ceiling and taken every light bulb in the corridor. I could see the flashes from the Tommy gun of somebody backed into the hall from one of the rooms still pumping lead.
Let me get by! Let me die! I'm going to get out of here!
Saw or heard me. I flopped down on my belly and tried to work my way into the tenth of an eighth lamp in the crummy carpet. I made like I'd been hit, but I couldn't quite manage the death rattle. When I heard the gunman run down the hall toward the rear of the building, I rose courageously to my hands and knees and crawled the rest of the way down the corridor and looked into the smoke-filled room. The air tasted like burned powder, but it smelled like blood. I swallowed my insides and went in. There were eight of them. I'll spare you the details, Sunday. You saw them after they were cleaned up. I needed some fresh air, and I needed it quick.
Johnny!
Huh?
Over here, over there, at home. Oh, please. There are more than ever.
place, then. Why were you there?
Why were you?
Well, you poor baby. I came after you.
Shut up. I want some answers. I don't want explanations. I don't want excuses. And if I catch you using what you know you do to me to snake your way out of this one, I'll...
What have I done to you? I did first Johnny, then Mike, and now you.
You're starting again. The last time.
Then I'm sorry. What do you want to know?
Are you in love with Johnny?
But I told you, no.
Mike Malloy?
No.
You going to marry Malloy?
What was in that room?
8 dead men.
What else?
A lot of blood and powder smoke.
Now ask me if I'm going to marry Malloy.
Okay, that's all I wanted to know. I'll see you later, Angel.
Not leaving, and I'm not coming back later. Get back in the room.
Now, listen here, Spade. I hired you as a bodyguard for my fiancée, Miss Parr. What do you come off pushing your way in here with a gun like this? I can have your license revoked so fast to make your head swear.
Help yourself. A little sick of this business.
Spade, I warn you, stay out of this.
What's that?
You know Johnny the Geek.
Gave you a working order.
You talk?
What's this for, Lord?
Ask Johnny. He knows.
All right, I will. You move over here where I can watch you. Keep your hands behind your neck. It's a latch.
This is going to cost you more than your life.
Shut up! Now, Johnny, listen to me. This is important. Move your right hand, but yes. You frame yourself on the breaking and every rabbit cool off from the bigger one, right?
Okay, I see, Johnny.
Murder?
No. Robbery?
How big? 5,000, 50? 500,000. That payroll job. Bakersfield, December 1944. That right, Johnny?
How do I go through with this farce? I can give it to you. Do you think it'll do you any good?
I promise you it won't.
Johnny got himself set up on that 3 to 5 year rap, partly for the reason you say, and partly because he didn't want to deal with the rest of the boys. He cooked up this transfer scheme of his, this gold key, that hotel room to throw us off the track. They could think the loot was hidden there.
You sure of it?
Positive. I bought that hotel and ripped it to pieces, room by room.
So you cooked up a couple of pretty crude schemes of your own to sweat it out of Johnny. First, you thought you could goad him into killing me. When that didn't work, you had your boy Naples knock off the opposition boys into the peace mob so he could hold a whole massacre over his head.
Who do you think you could settle that Johnny to?
I think I'll start with you.
I'll shoot
him! Maybe you'll laugh until you feel better, Johnny. Don't get chunky. Yeah, I know it's Naples. I'll start to him in the other room.
What are you doing here? Where's the boy?
Out.
What do you want?
I want to talk to you, pigeon.
Who's the pigeon?
Nobody but you, Naples. If you think somebody else is going up for that slaughter in room 322.
Johnny shot them guys. That's the boy.
I asked the boss. He said you did.
You're fucking...
Johnny bargained for a written statement by Malloy alibying Johnny. The cops have got it now. They'll believe it. Malloy's a big citizen, so you're the only pigeon left.
But for a few things. Where is he?
Wait here. I'll bring him to you. I left Maple standing there in the vestibule waiting for Malloy. Then I hoisted Johnny out of my back and left Malloy waiting for Maple. He went out the back way. I ran to the freight elevator and watched the floor indicator moving around. I believe it was between 6 and 7 when I heard a familiar sound from the Malloy apartment.
Everything is perfect. It's just you.
It's good to be true.
Yeah, you're so right, sweetheart. You're so exactly right. I didn't tell her I didn't have the heart. We talked some more and talked with Mark Mellon. Well, anyway, what I'm getting at, Sunday, is this. Some jerk from the DA's office informs me that you want her for questioning as an accessory before the fact. In my opinion, this angle of the case requires more personal research, and with all modesty, I think that I am the man for the job and will be as long as you think I have the $500,000. And if I do have it, Lieutenant, watch out for your bag. Curious, and it will be.
Well, how are you?
Have I what, Eddie? The $500,000?
Oh, what is the best thing? How can you be so calm about it?
Pipe that up, sweetheart. Search every nook and cranny for Treasury Hawkshaws, and I'll give you a full account. Private, of course. Worry no more, my sweet. Happy. Can you see the ticket?
You're giving it back already? Oh, of course you will.
Well, I never have.
But who did? Where is it, Sam?
Listen, my dear, you know, there never was an any $500,000 as far as Johnny Batiste. Now, he didn't have anything to do with that robbery. He invented the whole caper, including the Hogan Brothers, about the gold key. Now you ask me why?
Why?
To keep himself out of Malloy's rock crushing, you see? Well, he was resting safely for 3 years in San Quentin. Malloy was driving himself crazy, following that gold key and trying to dig up a $500,000 that wasn't even there. He figured by the time he got out, Malloy would be crazy enough to overplay his hand. And he was right. What's left of him?
Well, Sam, if you ask me, it wasn't the gold key that drove Malloy crazy.
Oh.
I better not say it. It's not my place to advise you, Sam. You know what I mean. Good night,
Mother.